In 2014, a crack criticism unit was sent to prison by an internet court for a bad review they never gave. These men and women escaped from a maximum security stockade to the Austin Underground. Today, still wanted by the shadowy secret leaders of the World Wide Web, they survive as mercenary movie reviewers. If you have a film, and no one else can tell you whether or not it's good, and if you can find them, maybe you can hire the Unusual Suspects. Like, we had gotten to see the rest of the Fantastic Four, but what the hell, man? Seriously?
Rest of the Fantastic Four? What are you talking about?
Yeah, like...
The Invisible... Oh, Jesus Christ, the Invisible Woman.
The joke that I am required by law to tell before starting this.
You know, technically, you didn't even see a single member of the Fantastic Four, seeing as she was invisible.
That's true. And it's not actually about the Fantastic Four Invisible Woman, either.
Albeit my civic.
Oh, I totally watched the wrong movie then.
Welcome to Highly Suspect Reviews. I am Chris Cox.
I'm Ashley Moreno.
And I'm Martin Thomas.
And we are going to talk about the new film, The Invisible Woman, based on the book The Invisible Woman, the story of Nellie Tennan and Charles Dickens. Now, this, of course, is a true story. I don't know how much of this is exactly true, per se, and how much is speculation. But ultimately, like... Towards the end of Charles Dickens' life, maybe the last 10 years, I guess, or so, he left his wife for a considerably younger lady.
And by younger, we mean hotter.
And by hotter, we mean an actress, which was doubly scary back then.
Not a terribly good actress, mind you. I mean in the context of the film, her character, not the actress playing her, which would be Felicity Jones, who I find to be both a fine actress and a fine lady.
Agreed.
Where might I know Felicity Jones from?
You have probably seen her in
such films
a variety of things, but a lot of British stuff she appeared in. I don't know, like Cemetery Junction was the first time I saw her, which was directed by Ricky Gervais.
Oh.
And she, I'm trying to think what of the Worst Witch series. She was on a Doctor Who episode that I know her from as well. Brideshead Revisited. Like Crazy was a big film for her, if you saw that one.
I feel like I did, but I can't remember what it was.
She's gonna be in Amazing Spider-Man 2.
Oh, Like Crazy. Is she the girl in that?
Well, she is a girl who is in it.
Oh, okay.
Yes, she is the girl.
Okay, okay, yeah, okay. Now I know her.
Okay. She's actually really beautiful, and I think quite talented. She's just now starting to kind of break where people are like, wait, Felicity Jones, yeah, I recognize that name. Who is she? She's the Invisible Woman, goddammit, and she totally hooks up with Ralph Fiennes. Well, I'm sorry, Rafe. Sorry, that's still... I know that's how, like, how he wants us to say it, but really? Okay. Rafe Fiennes... I still go to that.
Come on, man.
Your mother called you Ralph. I'm going to call you Ralph.
She's like our high school friend who tried to change her name to Crystal.
You know,
like,
what's those people whose
names?
What
was it really? Crystal?
Yeah, right.
The people whose names are spelled in the way that we know they're all pronounced, but they're like, no, it's pronounced some other way. You're like, no, it really is.
It does seem like if it was anything he was going to correct you on, it'd be the pronunciation of his last name.
Yeah,
like,
would you go?
No, it's Fiennes.
Fiennes. You'd be like, oh, fair enough. Yeah. I can see that, but it's spelled Ralph, dude. That's pronounced Ralph. I don't think there's an exception, but whatever. You are a very good actor, and you played Voldemort for 8 movies. Got to hand it to you. Not a lot of actors of your caliber would even volunteer to do that, so there you go.
Okay.
Well, you know what I mean. Like,
I just mean he wasn't Voldemort in the first couple movies.
Was he not?
No.
Oh, well, it was just a special effect, I guess, in the first couple of movies.
Yeah, and the second one, it was like the young Tom Riddle.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I was thinking about him during all the movies.
About Voldemort or young Tom Riddle?
Ray Fiennes. Yeah. So you maybe were having the same experience and got confused.
Well, he's Charles Dickens. That's Dickens. This isn't porn, although it feels like it's about to break into it at points. Talk about your chick flicks. This is a classy chick flick. This is BBC Films going, now this is how you do a chick flick.
I didn't see this so much as a chick flick.
No?
No, no. Because it mostly focuses on the men and just like the kind of bullshit she had to put up with being the mistress of someone so famous.
But it's her falling in love with this guy regardless of all that bullshit.
Yeah, well, and the thing is, it's like how, you know, the societal pressure on him to, you know, like, hey, you got this wife and you just stay with her and you're famous. You can't be doing this. And him kind of like, yeah, but I'm really in love with this girl and I'm trying to make this, you know, I'm gonna have to tell y'all, fuck you. I don't want to, but I might.
Don't you think that even though he has a lot of screen time like that, and you could view the story as being that way, the film kind of treats him like a supporting character and Felicity Jones as the primary.
Yeah, I would agree with that. In fact, there was a really interesting conversation that she has. At one point, Charles Dickens takes her over to a friend's house who is living with his mistress, and she's quite offended. And his friend kind of tries to convince her that they're trying to break down barriers. They're kind of trying to advance society.
Three ways are awesome.
Three ways are awesome. Fair enough. Nellie, Felicity Jones' character, looks at him and says, you know, you men can do that.
Right.
We can't.
Yes.
I actually thought that was really insightful and really cool.
Yeah, it's like, unless that's all I'm going to do for the rest of my life, like, that's my job is to be your mistress and you will support me and that's all I want out of life, that's all I'm going to get if I enter into that situation.
Right.
They actually put her as an intelligent woman into sort of a conundrum. You know, where she's like, she's genuinely falling in love with Charles Dickens, but if she does in fact hook up with him, that's all she's gonna get.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, it was really interesting because she recognizes in kind of a heartbreaking scene when her entire family, she lives with her other sisters and the three daughters and the mother are kind of a traveling actress group, crew, I don't know, troupe of
Kristen Scott Thomas, who's recently been turning in quite a few really good turns lately on TV and film, playing the matriarch of that group quite well.
And doing a great job.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so she kind of overhears them talking, the oldest daughter and the mother talking how she's not actually a good actress.
Ooh.
And how it's hard enough being a woman actress, but if you're not good, that's really a problem. So they're weighing kind of whether or not this option of Charles Dickens is a good thing or a bad thing.
Confused by his name, they're thinking, well, bad actresses usually turn to porn, and maybe that's Victorian Charles Dickens? Is he a porn actor?
I like the idea that the road he lived on is Smith, and his last pet was named Brian. He actually gets a non-porn name if you do the porn trick to Charles Dickens.
This reminded me of, I can't remember the name of it, I know it had Hudson in it, the movie where Bill Murray played FDR.
Oh, yeah, Hudson on the something. Yeah.
Where
he has the affair with the secretary, who is really the narrator and the main character.
Right.
Even though he's in it so much, he feels like he's one he's not really. He's
yes.
kind of, everybody's always talking about him. He's just not always on screen.
And it's another one of these posthumous, I'm writing the memoir of how I had an affair with this famous guy, and it goes through a lot of that same. It's a very similar setup.
I mean, different still because the time is so different. And
sure.
The mores are not that different, surprisingly. They're
right.
Just dealt with, I think, publicly. I mean, like, you could get away with being the, like, in the turn of the century of being, like, in America, somebody's mistress like that. But, and this time they're saying, no, you really can't. You're cast a down woman from then on. I mean, even to the point that we're flashing forward here all throughout this, where she's married to another guy, Charles Dickens is dead, and she's taken on another identity. I mean, she had to go to Jason Bourne and get, like, a new passport and all this shit. It's like, no,
I can't. Well, it's hard to think of where you can fall from an actress back then. Already scandalous enough.
Very true.
Yeah. I really overall enjoyed the movie. I thought it did. I could see people not liking it because it's kind of jarring, but they did some weird things with the editing that I actually thought was cool for some of the more awkward scenes. For supposedly being a somewhat steamy romance movie, there's not a lot of that actually in the film. I think you do see a couple people ending in the boudoir. But other than that, you don't really see much. But there are some quick cutaways and things that are pretty kind of shocking that, I don't know, I thought kind of put the viewers in the shoes of the people around this affair a little bit that I thought was kind of cool.
I agree with
it.
It
gives the outsider looking in type of thing.
Totally, exactly. And some of the scenes are pretty awkward, and you can really start to sympathize with some of the characters. So I thought it was a cool device that they kind of did that.
And this was actually directed by Rafe. I still, every time.
I'll just say Rafe. Come on.
All right, Rafe. I want to say Wraith. That'd be cooler. It's pronounced Wraith. Because I'm... bitch.
Well, yeah, but you're right. It's directed by him. I thought he did a great job.
I don't know if this was his debut or not.
No, it's not, because it's not, okay. He directed a Shakespeare.
Coriolanus. Which not Lanus, I don't think.
You're thinking of the planet.
Wait, let me see. Your first movie has anus in it, and your second movie has dick?
The man knows what he's like.
Who are you, Beavis?
I know, right?
He's in Dickens.
Wow, I can't even do a good impression of Beavis. Jesus Christ, that's terrible.
Oh, you've been doing fine all night.
Burn. Damn it. That did burn. That stang more than just a little bit. I don't know. You know, here's the thing. This is a very BBC Films film. Yeah. And I don't always mind that. There's stuff like that I love. Like, I actually watched the entire miniseries of Pride and Prejudice recently.
Get the fuck
All six
out.
Episodes, and I was like, this is really good.
Yeah, it's real good.
It's Colin Firth as Mr. Darcy. It's really good. I was like, holy shit, I love this. This, I was a little bit bored by. I was having trouble sticking with it, quite frankly. It was so dry. It was so much focused on Dickens, and yet, in some ways, and yet at other points, it's just like... You don't really see his story. I mean, not even going so far as it barely even discusses his demise, which should be an intense part of the plot of this film.
I won't fight you. I will not come at you. I won't say come at me. But, everything you're saying,
yeah,
I see that. I totally see how you can come to that conclusion, and I can't argue against it. I will only say that as I started to watch it, that was how I expected to feel about it. I was in our stack of movies to watch, and I'm trying to get through them as quickly as possible. And that was one that I put that in with the idea of I'm putting one finger on the stop button, because as soon as it gets boring enough, I'm going to stop it, eject it, and watch another movie.
And this is back when we were watching this stuff as advanced screeners,
yes,
for the Oscar year.
And somehow I found myself wrapped up in it and finished it all the way to the end. And, you know, I enjoyed it. I see everything you're saying, and somehow for me it worked. And I wish I had a way to explain what it was that did it. But, you know, his take on Dickens, I never looked at him that way. Like, oh, I see how he can be an attractive man who women would want to be with. And the plight of the main character. I was like, this is interesting.
I can tell you exactly why for me. And I hear what you're saying there. About a year ago, read a book by a writer named Dan Simmons, one of my favorite writers who does like every genre, called Drood, that actually Guillermo del Toro is off.
Oh, yeah, everybody was talking about that book.
Yeah, and the idea is it's set also during the last couple years of his life. It deals with the mistress thing and all this type of stuff, but the plot involves like the occult and murderers and all sorts of cool dude shit. Going,
okay,
where are the killers?
So that's what this missing. This movie, if it just had a little bit more Cthulhu in it.
Where's the Cthulhu shit?
Yeah.
Come on. I feel a little bad for Invisible Woman at this point, because you've compared it to Jane Austen, who's like a founder of like modern comedy, and this book. So I could see why those on either side, you're like, a little lackluster.
I guess for me, it's like, The problem is that, like, the history forces me to compare it to this book. The movie is nothing like it.
Oh, gotcha.
Nor really that much like Jane Austen, because there's not a lot of humor here either.
No, not really. And when there is, a lot of times it is coming from Charles Dickens. One thing I would have liked to see a little more is, I really love these period pieces when you're dealing with someone who's like a rock star of their day. This is like David Bowie. So when he walks into the room, people are just like fawning. Men and women want to go talk to him, and he's doing everything from telling jokes and reading his own work to like parlor tricks and hypnotism and just amazing everyone.
When you're right, the most telling moments of this film about Dickens are ones that they don't have to tell you, they just show you, like where he's being surrounded by well-wishers, and you can see his hands actually even start to shake as everyone wants to shake his hands, and just hands coming in from everywhere, and it doesn't go anywhere, but we have a picture of who Charles Dickens was, that despite just the madness of that still means more to him than anything else in his life.
Yeah, and so I really enjoyed, like, Velvet Goldmine and those movies that look at those kind of moments in people's lives. So I actually would have liked
me
to see that a little
too.
More.
You like love Velvet Goldmine.
Do you really?
It's amazing.
Yeah. I've tried to like that movie. I've seen it twice now.
Why is it so hard? It's an awesome movie.
I don't know what to tell you. I didn't
look
like
at the
it.
Cast. Look at the subjects. It's everything you like. Stop being an asshole. Just like the movie already.
Would more glitter help? I could get some glitter. We could start it up right now.
I have too much glitter already.
Yeah, that movie's got glitter display.
Not glitter for days.
Not Invisible Woman, although I would like to see some sort of mashup now.
No. When you eject Velvet Goldmine from your player, glitter comes out as well
as
a DVD.
It does, in fact. And the whole thing, but fortunately, the whole thing is heavily lubed, so it just slides right out on the floor along with all the glitter and slowly shrinks.
Which lube is definitely lacking from The Invisible Woman. I'll give you that.
Yeah, there's
that was dry.
It's very relatively bloodless in terms of the sex. I don't even think there was actually an on-camera kiss.
Yeah, and when you mentioned that, when we were talking about it shortly before recording this, I did have to admit that I couldn't think of that either. There is one scene where two people have potentially just made out, maybe had sex, but they're still in clothes because it's a Victorian era. And that would have been her husband in the flash forward. I think you're right.
Yeah, she does kiss her husband, I think, at one point. But that's never
scandal, never
between her and Dickens. And arguably, we should be convinced in this film of this passion that's uncontrollable, that's building in her. And I never felt it. I was with her when she was angry at him. When she starts going, you know what, I do really want to hook up with this guy. I was just kind of like,
do you, honey?
Do you, really? Because I'm not seeing... I mean, I can see why someone would want to.
Yeah,
I just don't see why you want to.
Yeah, maybe she was more of a star fucker when it comes to that.
We've known them in the biblical sense.
I'd like to think that in the Victorian era, they only had Band-Aids. Blowjobs only.
See, that was okay.
Right. Oh, yeah. The Lord doesn't look there.
You referenced Almost Famous. I respect you for that.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah. So you're saying she was the... what was the character's name?
Oh, gosh. I don't know. I just remember her sunglasses and that fabulous / terrible jacket she was wearing.
Great name in Almost Famous. The lead Kate Hudson?
Don't remember.
Character. Oh, yeah.
Anyway, she was the Kate Hudson of Victorian times.
Yeah. If you get tired of her, you can trade her to some other writer for a 6-pack of Heineken.
Mm. Wow.
Yeah, that's true.
That is like the perfect time.
Well, and now you can see why she was so nervous about whether or not it was the right choice.
True. Good currency.
Good currency.
My God. I really hope Jezebel never listens to any of our podcasts.
Who's Jezebel?
The website Jezebel. They're self-satisfied. We are the arbiters of everything feminist.
Yeah, which is so strange because
right
I've always considered myself a feminist.
Yeah.
All right.
No, you have a sense of humor.
Oh, burn.
Wah, wah. Anyway, let's get to final thoughts here. Martin.
Final thought is, I don't know. It's not a movie I could tell everybody to run out and see. However, it's one that, despite what I thought I was going to feel about it, I did end up liking. I like the performances. I like where it took me. It's one of those movies where I'm like, hey, I'm not – let me go watch it again. But if somebody's like, hey, I got this. I feel like watching it. I'd be like, you know what? Let me sit down with you and watch it myself. I'm going to give it 7.5 out of 10 street urchins.
Okay, yeah. When I saw this was coming out, I actually wanted to see it. I was pretty hopeful. I had a really hard time finding anybody who also wanted to watch it. And I really think that if you gave it a chance, you would like it. Like, as long as you're kind of open to historical fiction, romance, you have some interest in that, I really think you'll enjoy it. I thought all of the actors did a fantastic job. It does get a little slow at times, but I thought that they did some creative things with the editing. The footage is really cool. Costuming is also an interest of mine, and they are amazing. I'm going to give it 8 out of 10 Mr. Darcy's.
Of course. It's not worth 8 Colin Firth as Mr. Darcy. For the
few things are, sir. Few things are.
I gotta admit, even I was a little breathless when he came out of the lake with his shirt all dripping.
And
I was like, oh. And I was like, wait, what are you doing? You don't care. He really is kind of dreamy. You gotta accept
it. Oh, absolutely. And if my sassy mouth is going to be silenced, I want it to be by that.
I am going to leave that and hold on to it for later. I can't disagree with the things you guys said that you liked about this film. The problem is that ultimately, like I said, I was lost by the fact it did feel sort of bloodless. It did feel very passionless. It didn't feel like it captured the things I was most interested in the history of the relationship. I mean, namely, coming down to the point, like, so you choose to be his mistress. What happens when you start to realize that's not going to be an option anymore? I didn't find their period of, you know, courting each other really all that interesting, even though they both separately as characters were interesting. Together, they just weren't that interesting for me. Big kudos to Ralph Fiennes.
Come on, man. You got to call people what they want to be called.
I know, I suppose. But you know there'd be an exception to that. If I suddenly said, I want you to start calling me Cryus, you'd be like,
yeah, fuck
you.
So, I want to start going by Ash Lynn.
No.
Fair.
I think he does a great job as Charles Dickens. He's like eating up the scenery, but just enough. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
It's not so much that it's
right.
Ridiculous. It's like, it feels like a real guy who is just loving the attention. It's really interesting as well. Fiennes does some really cool stuff with the cinematography. There's a repeated shot of the lead character on a train sort of looking in the window, and there's this sort of amorphous reflection of her that sort of represents how she sort of feels about herself being not really having an existence. Oddly, they repeat that shot at one point with Dickens, and I never was quite clear what they were saying there.
Yeah.
I was like, wait, that kind of takes away all the impetus from that earlier shot, but whatever. I feel this was kind of a mixed bag and a little too slow to honestly enjoy outside. I mean, it's not worth more than the sum of its parts. It's just some good parts that never really coalesce for me. So I'm going to give it 5 out of 10 wish there had been a cosmic storms. And boy, do I. We need more super female-led movies, don't we, Martin?
Sure.
Where's the Miss Marvel movie?
Which Miss Marvel?
Well, Ms. Marvel.
Okay.
Come on, Jezebel is going to crucify us.
There's a new Miss Marvel. That's the reason I'm asking.
Carol Danvers got
there. Oh, okay, okay.
I want to let you guys know they pay me in half the beer for the same work that they pay Bo. Fact.
Nobody can drink as much as Bo.
Well, I was going to say, that's only because it takes Bo at least double the beer.
Which,
to
quite
even
frankly,
feel it.
It's also why I respect him so much.